energy.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much,
so
Grace.
So much. Thank you. And we're going to have a part two because this is we have to go deeper with this. So we're going to have a part two on this show. And so, hey, Disability Awareness and Grace Eagle Reed out and get involved, people. It's your life. And these people are here to help.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Opening of Mommy, an exhibit at Yale Union, Saturday, October 10th at 4 p.m. Mommy is a group exhibition featuring work by Lutz Bacher, Sonia Hamilton, Diane Simpson, and more, including a performance by Corinne Schneider. The show opens October 10th at 4 p.m. and will be up through December 20th. Again, that's Mommy at the Yale Union, 800 Southeast 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, and you're listening to Voices for the Animals.
The more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying our habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
Welcome to Voices for the Animals. My name is Dab Stedman, and I'm your host today. Our topic is killing cormorants on the Columbia, and our guest is Bob Salinger, the longtime conservation director at the Audubon Society of Portland. Good morning, Bob, and thank you for being here despite your very busy schedule.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. You have been working long and hard for more than a year now to stop a government plan which calls for the killing of a huge number of double-crested cormorants living at the mouth of the Columbia River. In June of last year, the Army Corps of Engineers announced its shocking proposal to shoot at least 10,000 cormorants over a period of 3 to 4 years and to destroy more than twice as many cormorant nests along with all of the eggs in them. The Corps claims that these fish-eating birds are taking too many salmon smolts as they swim by en route to the ocean. Please share the backstory here with us and tell us what's really happening with this extreme plan.
Sure. We've actually been working on this for several years. East Sand Island is an amazing place. Historically, it was a small island that has grown larger because the Corps has put dredge spoils there. And as a result, it's provided some pretty amazing habitat for a variety of species. That includes one of the largest colonies of double-crested cormorants in the world, the largest colony of Caspian terns, and also the largest roost for brown pelicans on the West Coast. So this is an amazing bird place. At the same time, we have listed salmon and steelhead on the Columbia River that we're trying to recover that are listed under the Endangered Species Act. And what the Corps is saying is that we need to kill fish-eating birds in order to recover salmon. We don't agree with that. In fact, what really needs to happen is the Corps needs to modify how it operates the Columbia hydropower system. For years and years, we've known that the primary cause of salmon decline is the manner in which the Corps operates the dams. And that's what caused them to be listed under the Endangered Species Act, and it's going to be modification that's going to allow them to return. But the Corps has fought back year after year and not done what it needs to do. In fact, it's gone to federal court 4 times and lost in court 4 times because of its unwillingness to modify the dams. And rather than pursue that course of action, instead, they said, the problem is the birds, these birds that have existed with salmon since time immemorial. And that's how we got to this point today, where they are now proposing to kill upwards of 10,000 cormorants and also to destroy more than 26,000 nests. And to give you a sense of how big of a project this is, that represents 15% of all the double-crested cormorants west of the Rocky Mountains in the United States. So it's a huge number.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it seems only reasonable that such a massive slaughter of wildlife like this would be the very last resort taken. Has any agency, particularly the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, tried to use non-lethal methods to discourage predation by the cormorants?
No, and in fact, that's one of the primary complaints about this proposal. Really, these birds are being scapegoated for declines that have nothing to do with these birds. In fact, the cormorant population in the western United States is an order of magnitude smaller than it was historically. You'll hear the Corps talk about this explosion of cormorants. In fact, there are far fewer than there were 100 years ago. One of the things we have argued is that they should try non-lethal methods. They should try hazing them off the island, causing them to go to other places. The Corps has never explored that possibility.
And there have been other places where moving populations are discouraging them and you're trying to relocate them have been successful, hasn't there?
There have been efforts to do that. In fact, with the Caspian terns that are out there, they're working on that approach as we speak. But in the case of the cormorants, they have been so vilified by the state and federal agencies for the salmon declines that they're not wanted anywhere else. In fact, both Oregon and Washington, the states produce maps of where cormorants would be welcome. Oregon put almost the entire state off limits, and Washington put the entire coast south of Puget Sound as a place where more cormorants would not be welcome. So what that has done is put the federal agencies into a situation where they don't want them at the mouth of the Columbia, but the states don't want them anywhere else. And again, I think we need to put this into perspective because cormorants are an order of magnitude smaller than they were historically. They're declining in many places. In fact, in British Columbia, they are listed as a species of concern, a blue list species, because their populations are so low. The second and third largest colonies of cormorants in the West at Klamath and also down in the Salton Sea have disappeared because of water issues. And so this is a species that's under tremendous pressure already. There are far fewer than there were of them than there were historically, and yet the federal government is proposing to kill 15% of the population and destroy the colony that's been the most productive. In fact, mouth of the Columbia is the only place where we've seen population increases in the western U.S.
And didn't the scientist at Oregon State University study this issue at the behest of the Army Corps? And they looked at this proposal, and what was their opinion? What were their findings?
The Corps has had OSU on contract for over a decade out there, and the lead scientist who did all the research for the Corps on cormorants wrote a scathing letter criticizing the environmental impact statement for having very weak science, that they didn't use the best available science, they misinterpreted the science, and also they did not explore non-lethal methods. So the letter that was written by the Corps' own contract scientist was very, very critical of this proposal, and yet they proceeded forward.
Yes, and we're supposed to be living under a science-based administration now, so this makes it doubly disappointing.
It's really disappointing because you have multiple federal agencies that are supposed to be providing oversight, including the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they're supposed to be protecting these resources. And instead, they've all become complicit in basically using this protected wildlife species as a scapegoat to avoid the real causes of salmon decline. This is basically a distraction and a diversion, and it's being done at an unprecedented scale, and it's being done in a way that is truly barbaric.
And why is this diversion being made? I mean, whose interests are being protected?
The Corps does not want to modify the dams. And when we talk about modifying the dams, the Corps likes to suggest that that means removing the dams altogether. Realistically, the Columbia River dams are not going to come out, and that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is adjusting the flows over the dams so that salmon have water when they need it. and the Corps has been very, very reticent to do that because that will affect ratepayers and the cost of electricity that's generated by these dams. They don't want to go there. Some very, very powerful interests that will be affected by that. And so it's much easier to say, don't look behind the curtain. Don't look at the real cause of salmon decline. Let's instead focus on these birds that have coexisted since time immemorial. And that's
when salmon populations were thriving.
And to be clear, these birds do eat salmon. They eat a lot of things. In fact, salmon are typically a relatively small part of their diet, but they've always eaten salmon. And, you know, the idea of manipulating these native wildlife populations, whether we're talking about cormorants or we're talking about killing sea lions, you know, the Corps is creating this web of death at the mouth of the Columbia River as a way to avoid the culpability that they truly have for the salmon declines. The Corps will tell you that they've done modifications to the dams, and that's true. They have done some things. But four times in the last decade, they've gone into federal court and lost because they're not doing enough. And the reality is we can kill wild species like the cormorant till the end of time, and that will not recover salmon. Unless we address the dams, salmon recovery is not going to happen.
Okay, sounds like the deck is stacked against the cormorants in this case, but and nonetheless, the killing is already underway. And how has the Audubon Society responded to this radical plan? Have you taken any action to try to halt the attacks on the cormorants?
We have. We've been trying to work with the Corps for many years to head this off, you know, suggesting alternative strategies. Number one, address the primary causes of decline, the dams. Number two, look for non-lethal strategies like relocation. We submitted comments. We've met with the agencies. Over 200,000 people wrote to the Corps and U.S. Fish and Wildlife opposing this plan.
Oh,
it drew massive national and even international opposition. When they decided to go forward with the plan, we litigated and we took them to court.
And that was last March, was it?
That was last spring, okay. Last March.
Mm-hmm.
We sought a preliminary injunction. This is a four-year plan. We sought a preliminary injunction to keep them from beginning the killing this year. The court did not award the preliminary injunction. They did not grant the preliminary injunction.
They said
that they felt that 1 year of killing would not cause irreparable harm to the species. Yes, it would cause irreparable harm to the animals that are killed, but it would not. A single year of killing would not drive the species into decline. And so on that basis, they said that they will let the first year go forward. But the judge was also very clear that wasn't an indication of how he was going to rule on the case when it was heard in its entirety. And he made that very explicit. He wasn't leaning one way or the other at that time, but he wasn't going to stop the first year. And this is a four-year project. We expect our court case will be resolved before 2016. But they're out there killing right now.
Yes.
They've already
killed. In the meantime, the cormorants are dying.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, a couple of things make this particularly unique. It's fairly horrific just on its face. But they're talking about killing 15% of the Western population. U.S. Fish and Wildlife's own analysis shows that that will drive the cormorant below sustainable levels. That's the U.S. Fish and Wildlife's own assessment of this. And we can't recall another situation where the federal agencies have deliberately driven a species below sustainable levels. And they define that as a level below which they could go into catastrophic decline and which they could potentially have to be listed themselves. So in order to protect salmon, they're potentially risking cormorants. And this is not going to do anything to help salmon. So it's a particularly pathetic situation.
It is. And exactly how is this killing taking place? Is it by actually shooting them? I know there was they're oiling the eggs. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. They're using a variety of techniques to reduce the population on each sand island. First of all, they are going to be shooting birds with shotguns from boats. They'll have shooters, federal agents out on boats blasting the birds out of the sky.
Oh, boy.
Secondly, they are stationing shooters on towers at night around the colony. This is a huge colony, thousands and thousands of birds. They nest on the ground. They will have shooters on towers with night vision goggles and high-powered rifles, and they will be shooting the birds off of the nests, literally shooting them as they tend to their young and their eggs at night.
So even the ones that aren't actually being killed are going to be totally stressed out.
Absolutely. I mean, they're shooting into a colony that under normal circumstances you only approach on your hands and your knees in tunnels because it's so vulnerable to disturbance. They're proposing to literally turn this colony into a shooting gallery. They'll be orphaning young and leaving them to starve. They're also proposing to walk through the colony with backpack full of oil, full of vegetable oil, and spray nests. And so far, they've killed about 150 birds through shooting, and they've oiled several thousand eggs. They propose to increase dramatically in September and October. So we're expecting the killing to really ramp up, and then they're going to be going towards several thousand birds.
So it's not only the birds who are living now, but by destroying the eggs, by oiling them and preventing them from hatching out, it's the next generation that's being grossly affected as well.
Exactly. And they're doing this in real secrecy. We have requested, other groups have requested, and the media has requested the opportunity to observe their actions, to see what they're doing out there. And they have steadfastly refused to do that. In fact, they won't disclose when they're going to be doing the shooting. They've told us on Friday that they weren't, that they had no timeline, and then gone out there on the following Monday, a holiday, and started shooting birds. So they have been utterly secretive about this. And, you know, I think when there's a situation where we got 200,000 letters opposing the killing, where there's been national and international interest, where you're affecting these very important wildlife populations, there's an obligation to be transparent. And yet they've been allowed to get away with this utter secrecy. So we have been litigating this. We have been in contact with the agencies. We've been having call-ins where, you know, we've flooded their offices with opposition. And we'll continue to work on this.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more right after this short break. We're back, and you're listening to Voices for the Animals on your community radio, KBOO Portland. This is Deb Stedman, and I'm talking with Bob Salinger, Conservation Director at the Audubon Society of Portland. We're speaking about the government killing of cormorants on the Columbia River. Bob, I had just asked you, you know, what measures the Audubon Society, as well as other conservation groups, were taking, and I was sent a copy of the press release that came out this August 12th that was jointly issued by several conservation groups, including the Audubon Society. And I'd like to read the first paragraph of this for our listeners. The first paragraph reads, quote, "Conservation groups today called for an investigation after documents released last week under court order showed that killing double-crested cormorants will not benefit salmon and steelhead in the Columbia River Basin. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's own biologists found that fish not eaten by cormorants would be eaten by other predators, but nonetheless authorized the killing of more than 10,000 double-crested cormorants and destruction of more than 26,000 cormorant nests on East Sand Island near the mouth of the Columbia." End of quote. This news is nothing short of scandalous. Please comment.
Sure. We got wind during the spring that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife had actually done an analysis of whether this would actually benefit salmon. And one of the big concerns about the environmental impact statement, this is a document that was over 1,000 pages long, was that they never actually show that killing cormorants will increase the survival of salmon and allow them to come back and spawn and reproduce.
Which is the whole premise for the plan.
Which is the whole premise. Yeah. I mean, the whole point of this is to help recovery, which means that not only do you have to prevent the predation, but you have to show that these are actually going to return as adults and spawn, that there's actually going to be an impact on the population of salmon. And they never do that, amazingly enough. And what we found out was that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which had to issue permits to the Corps to do this killing, had done an analysis of whether this was actually going to benefit salmon. And we requested that, and they turned us down. And we went to the court and asked them to force the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to turn this over. And the court did order them to do so, and we got this in August. And what we found out was that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, for more than a year, has been sitting on a report that shows that there will be zero benefit to salmon. And that was their own analyst that did this study. It's not a back-of-the-envelope study. It's 20 to 30 pages long. It's a long analytical analysis of whether this is going to benefit salmon. And their own analyst found no, it's not going to benefit them at all.
So if you had had this report available to you during the court hearing last March, this certainly would have impacted the outcome of that court decision, wouldn't it have?
It very well might have. It's a very important piece of information. And what is so troubling here, and this means this takes it beyond just simply killing cormorants, is that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife hid this report. And there's no question about that. I mean, they knew that what they had was absolutely explosive. We were raising the very issues that were being articulated in this report. So were many other groups. We were meeting with them at that time. They never disclosed that they were doing this analysis. It doesn't appear in the administrative record. And the whole reason you do an EIS, an environmental impact statement, is to make sure that the best science is included, that the process is transparent, and that you respond to public concerns that are raised. I mean, it's all about transparency and disclosure. And yet, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service sat on this very critical piece of information, and when we tried to get it, refused to disclose it. So we are not only now asking for them to rescind the permits and stop the killing, we're also asking for an investigation.
And who would be doing that investigation?
Well, we've asked the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to investigate who made the decision not to disclose this report. And also who it was shared with. Was it shared with the U.S. Army Corps? Was it shared with other groups? We know it was shared with NOAA Fisheries already. You know, what's really amazing is this report appears and then it virtually immediately evaporates. It just disappears from the discussion. And there's really not a paper trail around it. It just sort of disappears into the ether. And again, this is something that goes to the heart of this very decision. Fish and Wildlife Service, the people involved, knew exactly what they had. They had to have realized these are the same people that are working with the Corps on developing the killing plan. And they're the same people that are meeting with us. And we're expressing concerns about the lack of analysis about the benefits to salmon. And the whole time, they're sitting on a report that says there will be no benefits.
Well, the suppression of that report sounds highly unethical to me, and I'm sure to our listeners as well.
We believe it is, and we believe it does warrant an investigation, and we believe that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service should withdraw the permits immediately.
And has the director, Ash, I believe his name is, has he responded to this press release or to the request for an investigation?
He has. I spoke with him on Tuesday. He did call us. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is refusing to address the issues that we have raised, is what it really comes down to. Director Ash wanted to portray this as a disagreement over science, a disagreement about how to proceed, but he wanted to frame it in very much sort of, well, we can agree to disagree about the science, but we shouldn't be talking about the integrity of the process. We believe we absolutely need to be talking about the integrity of the process.
Well, you certainly do, especially since no one's been able to get on the island. No conservationist representative from Audubon has been able to get on the island to really monitor the activity to see whether the court plan, you know, as approved, is being followed.
Sure.
Do you have any reason to believe it is or isn't being followed?
We believe it is not being followed at this point. And it's not just Audubon that has requested. I mean, we're a litigant, so I understand that they don't want a litigant on the island, although I think they should still be transparent and allow us to be there. But it's also the media, and it's lots of groups that aren't litigating. So it's not just us that have made this request. The Corps has proceeded in the utmost secrecy. And we have also now have another document that we got under a FOIA request made by another organization. That shows that the Corps knew as far back as June that the population on the island has actually already declined to the point where they have passed the targets for this year. So the population went into steep decline back in May and June. They're blaming eagles for disturbing the birds. We are actually very concerned that all of their activity as they built their towers and they started shooting birds is what caused birds to abandon the colony. But regardless of the cause, the fact is that the Corps acknowledged as far back as June that population levels had already declined so far in terms of nesting birds that they already met their goals for 2015. And yet, they're talking about continuing to kill and actually increase the kill numbers into September and October. There is absolutely no basis for them to do that if, in fact, the colony has already declined.
Can you appeal to the court to stop them at this point, at least for this year?
We're exploring our legal options, but right now we are calling on the agencies to do the right thing. Now, that may be a long shot because they haven't done the right thing yet in this issue, but we're calling on them to stop immediately because the fact is it will take a little while to get into court, and the killing is happening as we speak, and it needs to stop right now. You know, we are putting pressure on the agencies to take a hard look at what's going on out there. We sent a letter to Dan Ash yesterday at U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service flagging this new information regarding the fact that the population has already dropped, calling on U.S. Fish and Wildlife to follow the terms of their own monitoring plan and withdraw the permits. But, you know, we didn't have any impact on them last week when it was disclosed that they had hid information that shows there'll be no benefit. I'm not sure this will be any different. So we will continue to explore whatever options are available to us.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It almost seems like there's a war against wildlife being waged by mainly government agencies, you know, at the taxpayers' expense to boot. And it's very disheartening.
It is. It's outrageous. Yeah. I mean, really what we're talking about here is wasting millions of dollars of taxpayer money, killing thousands of birds, and having no benefit for salmon. And that is simply disgraceful.
It certainly is. Well, what can the KBOO listeners do? How can they help to stop the killing of Oregon's cormorants? Are there protest plans, or should we be calling our state and federal officials to object? Can any people get in their boats and bear witness to the slaughter on East Sand Island?
You can go to our website, www.audubonportland.org, and we are keeping it updated on a pretty much daily basis in terms of what's happening and what people can do. We have been having call-ins to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We may target our congressional delegation. We may target other agencies. We may have some protests as well. We're not encouraging people to go out to the island because the reality is you have very, very vulnerable wildlife populations there. Other than cormorants, as well as cormorants, and if people start protesting on the island, you're potentially going to do a lot more harm than good. I think if we're going to do protests, it needs to be done probably in Portland at the agency's headquarters.
Okay, and do I understand that there is a legal defense fund for the expenses related to defending the cormorants' interests?
We do, and that's also on our website.
Give us that website address again.
www.audubonportland.org.
Okay, great.
And if people want to contribute to help defray legal costs, that would be greatly appreciated. But check out the website because there's information on there about what people can do to help, and that is changing, you know, day to day and week to week.
Okay. Well, I'm very sorry to say that our time is up now, and I want to thank you so very much, Bob Salinger, for sharing your insights about the Army Corps' plan to kill thousands of Oregon's protected cormorants. And I wish you good luck stopping this horrific and unnecessary slaughter of our wildlife.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. This is Dab Stedman thanking you for listening to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Please tune in on the fourth Monday of every month to hear this program. Our podcasts are also available online at kboo.fm. Until next time, remember that you too can be a voice for the animals.
And thank you for listening to the Monday Morning Radio Zine on KBOO. Stand by for the Noontime Jamboree, and Allie Starr is here today. She's going to bring you the tunes, so don't go anywhere. We have the noon headlines and then the Noontime Jamboree.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
It's time for the KBOO News at noon for Monday, September 28, 2015. The Shell Oil Company has announced they will not drill in the Arctic. The announcement comes after numerous problems with their ships and equipment, environmental activists blocking them at every port, and as Shell executives put it, no indication that there's oil under the ice there anyway. It's estimated that Shell spent more than $3 billion on their Arctic drilling operations before calling the operation off for good earlier today. In regional news, teachers in Kelso, Washington, have ended their 8-day strike after coming to an agreement with the school district. Classes resumed today after the teachers voted last night to approve the agreement. The main complaints by the teachers were about their low pay, overcrowded classrooms, and excessive workloads. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has announced the discovery of a record cold area of water in the northern Atlantic Ocean. Scientists believe the unusually cold water is due to the increased glacier melting in Greenland and Iceland. It is believed that the cooler temperature of the northern Atlantic Ocean will cause harsher and wetter winters for the northeast United States and Britain for the next decade or so. After the Arctic ice melt dissipates, however, runaway warming could be inevitable. In international news, President Obama is set to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin today at the UN to discuss the Syrian war and the Ukraine. The meeting will occur after both leaders in front of the UN accused each other of supporting and causing the conflicts in Syria and the Ukraine. Right now, 9 countries are involved in military operations in Syria: China, Russia, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Britain, France, and the United States. And in intergalactic news, NASA today announced they have discovered evidence of flowing water on Mars. Dark streaks running down the slopes of a mountainside on the surface